You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to Macro Micro News for Thursday, 29th of May, 2025. Just been out for a dog walk and I underestimated the heat. It's always a problem, that, isn't it? This morning, it was a bit windy and overcast. Wasn't that warm? It's okay. I took the dog out for jeans on a t-shirt. I was sweating like a maniac. Very uncomfortable. In my head, though, I sort of do this, pretend I'm in SAS training, you know? You've got to live with uncomfortableness, even though I'm walking from the dog in the park. And I tell you what I was listening to. I tried it a while back. I don't know why I didn't get into it. Founders, which is, summaries of books from great entrepreneurs. And I got onto the section, listening to James Dyson's story. Phenomenal story. The struggles he went through. And you realise sometimes people get into such a corner. And in fact, he said in the book, it was fear or hope. They had so much debt. He went 14 years from the original prototype. And the reason why it came about is because he just hated Hoover. It didn't work. You know, he invented this thing called the ball barrow, which is a wheelbarrow. And they were sort of powder-coated. There was mess everywhere, and you couldn't clean it up with Hoovers. And a guy said, what you need is an industrial sort of cyclone, Hoover thing. He said, what's that? So he looked into it. So I can miniaturise this. And so he built a cardboard version in his house. And he's not an engineer. And it sort of worked. And then he had a wife and two kids. And it was 7 years before he had a sort of, I think, commercial version of it. But it's phenomenal. And, he approached all the big manufacturers, and this is a huge lesson, like Hoover, and they weren't interested. He said, no, this is a bagless Hoover. It picks up better, and you don't need a bag. And they just ignored him, basically. And someone said, well, why would they be interested in bagless Hoover? I said, what do you mean? It's less hassle for the consumer. He said, yeah, but Hoover make about $500 million a year in selling bags. So they're not interested in the consumer. They're interested in selling to the consumer. I said, okay, well, I'll go direct to consumer. And he learned that, you know. But there are certain products out there, not that good, but they're market leaders and they're making money. And, there's probably innovators out there struggling to get through the door because they're blocking entrance. So, but it's an amazing story. Like I said, he had legal problems, he had debt, he had a wife, two kids, and he had a little shed with no water, no electricity maybe. No, he had electricity, but no gas, no heating, nothing like that. Little shed, and he created about 5,100 prototypes in that little shed. And, it must have been times. I mean, it's easy to look back now and think, yeah, well, you're a billionaire. It's easy. You should have kept going. But there were times, of course, you'd think, is this a pipe dream? Am I wasting my time? Because that's a lot of years' dedication. But like I said, he nearly did give up. And then one of the legal cases got dropped. And it gave him a bit more impetus. But he was just debt, outside balls, legal problems, and he had no other way out. So, yeah, it's worth listening. So it's called Founders, and the guy, I can't think of the guy's name, who reads these books and goes through these books and notes all the books down, annotates them, and just summarises them very well. But it's very inspirational. I did try it quite a few years back. I didn't get into it, but now I'm really into it. When I get into something and stop, I listen to all of them, you know. So I'm like that with at night. I read a book every, not a book every night, but I read books every night. And I love going, if I find a good sort of detective sort of novel, British detective, I love British detective novels. I go through the whole series. I love that. Anyway, check that out. So anyway, sorry, I've been off piece there, which is not appropriate in this weather. But anyway, a bit of macro news. US markets and UK markets are up after a federal court blocks President Donald Trump's sweeping tariffs in a major blow to his economic policies. That's what they are, is it? Economic policies. It's not really. It's a ham-fisted way of negotiating. Stupid. Three judges rule that Trump overstepped his authority. He's done that all his life, hasn't he? And he's made his way to president. So it sort of works in a way. When he's used emergency law to impose tariffs on nearly every country. It is ridiculous, these executive orders he signs with his stupid, elongated signature. It's just nonsense, isn't it? That there typifies how crazy the situation is. It's a shambles. You know, he's created a shambles in the markets, and it's nuts. Anyway, Trump, of course, looks to set to appeal the ruling through courts, a route which will see the government first take the case to the US Court of Appeals, the Federal Circuit in Washington. It could ultimately go to the US Supreme Court, which is already considering other cases about the scope of presidential power. So he's already got other cases going on there about him overstepping the mark. So it's nice to see a rally, but it's good to see that at a certain level, you know, you're not a dictator in America. You know, sense will step in, common sense. Say, right, stop it. This is a shambles of a chaos, of a messy situation. You can't do what you're doing. Don't be stupid. You can't upset, you know, world trade just to get your own way. So it's nice, a bit of sensibility stepping in. Let's look at the markets anyway. Let's go from, let's have a look, sorry. Where's the markets? There we are. FTSE 100, pretty much flat, but it's had a good sort of rally of late. Nearest highs. FTSE 250 is up a fifth of 1%. The FTSE small cap is pretty much flat. But the AIM All share, best performing, up a third of 1% to 744. We're now 4 points, ladies and gentlemen, away from a bull market. Whoa! Technical bull market, of course. But anyway, it's good to see. Brent crude, that's down, actually. It's odd that. You think oil would rise on, you know, opening up trade. I don't know how long this is going to last for. It sort of introduces more uncertainty, doesn't it? You know, will Trump's appeal win? I don't know what's happening. But it is nuts that he went unchecked in what he's doing. I'm glad he's been checked now. What else is there? Bitcoin's rolling over. Well, it's not rolling over. It's down a ninth, nine-tenths of 1% to 106. What else have we got here? Let's have a look at gold. Gold is up, a bit more uncertainty there, up 1.3% to $3,339 an ounce. And copper is pretty much flat, but it's to the turn, it is 10,300 pretty much. Like I said, midway between high and low of this year. Anything else there? Oh, let's look at the government bond yields. So 2 year. It's down 1.5% to 4%, the yield on that. 10 years up, it's down 1.3% to 4.66. And the 30 year is also down 1.3% to 5.4. A pound will buy you €1.18 and it'll buy you $1.34. Okay, let's go over to sharepickers.com and check out the Macrocap database. I didn't do one yesterday, the podcast, because I do the weekly webinar, and sometimes it takes a bit longer to do. So I do the database. By the time I finish that, I've got to start sort of preparing for the webinar, which is an hour long, 6 p.m. every weekday is live and also recorded for the website. I cover a lot of stocks and some investment theories. Whatever, I'm going to show my holdings and the Microcap League. In fact, the Microcap League fund now is 19% up, beating all indices by double digits, beating all professional fund managers in the sector by double digits, and beating all US indices. What is the Murray Cap League? It's an investments I've made, real life investments in companies that appear in the top 20 of the Murray Cap League. The Murray Cap League are profitable Murray Cap companies that are performing on certain metrics and scored and ranked. So I know they have a sort of certain quality about them. So that's doing quite well. By all means, if you want to join the SharePickers Club, go to sharepickers.com and you can see more information there. So let's start off with Braemar Shipping. Braemar! BMS sticker there. They came out with full year results today. They are, what is it, market cap of 75 million, enterprise value 86. So they've got a bit of debt there, but 31 million. I disagree on the debt, the net debt. I don't understand this. Anyway, let's go to my comments. On the database, by the way, you can see the company, you know, metrics, 20 different metrics there. The company description, there's also a summary of the full year, half year results. There's also a forecast. There's also broker comments. There's also recent news and a chart where I draw lines of support and resistance and my comments. So I say here, BMS's 2025 results show some improvement, but their outlook statement does not inspire confidence. Forecasts for next year are not expected to improve on 2025. So for 25, revenue dipped 7%, but profit before tax increased 23% to 9.22 million versus 7.52. Now, I'm confused with net debt. According to their balance sheet, they have net debt of 11.37 million versus net cash last year of 21 or 22 million. But they're saying they have net debt 2.5. Well, I take net debt as, you know, as interest-bearing loans minus cash, and that's what I get. So I don't see how they get to that. However, the important question here remains, are BMS improving going forward? Now, even though the broker has downgraded their target price to 320 from 350 on their adjusted figures, I bloody hate adjusted figures. Brokers, if you listen to this or know a broker, please put in reported or statutory and adjusted. Because adjusted always, you know, 99 times out of 100, adjusted figures are more flattering than the real reported figures. And I know you're brokers, I know you're sort of biased to the company, but you've got to be objective as well. Because when people read the final reports or the interim reports, what they're seeing, or what they'll, you know, every website or will jot down or put down is actually the statutory figures. It's not reported, adjusted. So the odd thing is, as I said, the brokers downgraded the target price. So what does that mean to you? That means figures not improving, yeah? But their adjusted figures, sure, they are improving. So why downgrade the target price then? So what I did was ignore their adjusted figures and use brokers' revenue target, but use the last 2 years' profit margins as a guide. And by doing this, it shows net profit dipping by 5%. We pushed on a PE of 14, not cheap, considering they show no growth. Brokers show a return to growth in 2026. I will wait. This is not compelling as of today. If the SP drops and the forecast remains the same or improve, it could be worth a look. But as yet, it's not compelling. And also, I'm sure this is a company where I look into it, but I'm sure the CEO got a phenomenal pay packet last time. Oh, here we go. So I think this is it James Grundy is executive director, CEO. So the base salary is 475,000. That was last year, this was. So 475,000 and with bonus. No bonus this year. A pension of 23 grand. But the total, that's not too bad. 501,000. Last year, he got an annual bonus of 2.35 million. So got total fixed was 2.8 million last year got paid. So it's not so bad this year. It's about 500,000. It's not bad, but I don't understand why they did so well last year. Anyway, that's Brain Marvel. So, you know, it's not compelling. I wouldn't rush to sort of invest in that. A BMS sticker there. Crimson Tide. What did they come up with? An extension of contract, I think. Contract renewal, major supermarket. Now, this is a market cap of 3.5 million. Enterprise value, 306. They've got 2 million of cash in the final results. Half year results to the 30th of June
showed cash of 2.5. Revenue was flat for the half year, 3 million. Loss before tax of 211,000 versus 471. There's been quite a few. In fact, brokers have pulled their forecast due to the takeover bid from Checkit, also listed in UK, CKT, which was rejected. By the way, what do they do? The provider of MPro5, smart app solution. MPro5 is delivered on smartphones and tablets to enable organizations to digitally transform their business and strengthen their workforce by smart mobile working. So they have all these people working in supermarkets, for example, and they have to check off certain things, you know, on their mobile app, and it tells you how much they've done per hour, and it breaks it down into analytics, all this stuff. It's, you know, helping deliver efficiencies in the workplace via a digital way. And there's quite a few of these. Checkit is very similar in this respect, and that's why Checkit wanted to... It wasn't going to go ahead, and I don't know what happened. Anyway, brokers have pulled their forecasts. The bid was rejected. So I've input the forecast pre-bid. 2024, which they haven't reported yet, shows flat top line and loss before tax of 800K. This is 295K. Break-even is forecast for 2025, the net profit of 300K. If 2026 figures are to be believed, and I can't say that they are now, it's pretty changed, but they're showing top line 8.3 million and, a post-tax profit of 1.6 million, which put them on a PE of 2, but we got 2024 and 2025 to get through yet. So even though they are, highly recurring revenue business, they have to win some more contracts, I think, to achieve that. So, like I said, they do have cash, so they may be able to reach profitability on the cash they have, 2.5 million, unless that's dropped. They should be reporting numbers very soon. They recently changed their end of year date from 31st of December to 30th of April, but they will announce an audited second interim for 6 months before the end of May. End of May was the last day of May now, or no, tomorrow, last training day of May. So you better get your skates on, but it's worth waiting to see the figures so they stack up against forecasts. But as yet, again, it's really an ignore. And I put these companies into three different categories. Market cap league eligible, if they're profitable, or recovery or potential watch lists. That's amber yellow kind of colour. If they're looking like they're growing or they're going to be profitable next year, that's that. Now, Crimson Tide is not in a list. Next, GTEC Group. A leading locator of subsurface resources essential for world's energy security and sustainable transition. The company combines unique geoscience expertise, AI-driven analytics, and extensive geospatial insight to identify new energy and mineral resources and streamline exploration process. So market cap here is 2.5 million, enterprise value of 2 million pretty much for the last year's results. So for the full year results last year, they had 16% top line growth to 4.6. They did reduce their loss before tax. Anyway, let's go to my comments straight away. My comments easier. There's been some improvement in GTC's 2024 results. Revenue up 16%. Loss before tax reduced dramatically by 69% to 1.58 versus 5.1 million. So that's a huge drop in costs there. However, the net cash is at 485K. Forecasts, though, are not worth getting excited about. Revenue is only forecast to grow by 7%, and they will still be making a loss of 700K. Their lack of cash will also cast doubt and constrain any potential upside. Ignore unless they raise money, because I doubt they will get the profitability in 2026 on the funds they currently have. So they're in that area where they need to raise money. People know they need to raise money, and that doesn't help the share price. Right, so I just noticed something on the website that should be there, isn't there? Next, Journeo. Market cap, 50.5 million. Enterprise value, the last set of full results, 36 million. So they've got plenty of cash, 14 million. I didn't realize that much cash. And 218K of debt, so no problem there. What's the last set of results? Good results, last set of results. Top line up 8%. Profit before tax up 33% to 5 million. The cash of 14 million. Free cash flow up 105%, 6.5%. So very good. So they've announced 4.2 million purchase order from Alstom SA, a major supplier within the rail industry. Design and supplies CCTV and automated passenger counting. What's interesting here is that they anticipate that approximately 2 million additional revenue will be generated over the 5 years for SaaS software as a service, subscriptions and associated support services as the fleet of Voyager trains return to service. So that's very interesting. What's odd, and I'll check now, there's been no broker update on this. I mean, you need to get your backsides in gear. Who's the broker? On this, or they had a recent 10 million framework agreement. Have they had anything yet? No. It's Cavendish. Cavendish is very good, actually. I do like their broker notes. Of all the broker notes, I like Cavendish's broker notes a lot because they do present them very well with adjusted and reported, as all brokers should do. Take note. Certain brokers don't. Yeah. So it's a good company, but listen, there's been no commentary updates on the forecast. Which I should think they would have had, considering this is a 4.2 million contract and they did a 10 million pound framework agreement recently. So what's going on there? There we are. First Bus UK, that was with. That agreement last time, when was that? On the 14th of May. So two very recent. Will they be upgraded? Be interested. Next, Physiomics is a solution provider to the R&D-based pharmaceutical and biotechnology industry with a focus on oncology. The company uses the combination of industry standard and its own proprietary virtual tumour modelling technologies to predict the effects of cancer drugs. Market cap of 1.2. Enterprise value of 1 million. This contract is worth 143 grand, and that's a big contract for them. And I do say my comments haven't changed it. There's a lot of contenders for the biggest waste of space on AIM, but PYC has to be in the top 10. It's never made a profit. Growth is going backwards, and revenues are insignificant. The size of its contract wins is usually less than the listing costs, or in fact, almost their total revenue is less than listing costs. And the amount it can raise in equity is getting smaller and smaller. There's only two realistic options for this company, delist or go into administration. Or, I suppose the upside is bigger contracts, but they don't seem to be doing that ever. So I would say PYC, ignore. What's next? Smart Tech 247. Multi-award-winning managed detection and response company, and market leader in security operations and cybersecurity, all that stuff. Market cap, 9.6 million. Enterprise value, 6.7. Today they announced $4.2 million in new and renewed contracts. What's odd here is that the H1 revenue increased by 21% to 5.5 and loss before tax reduced by 36% to 325. Cash also reduced by 42% to 1.6 million versus 2.8. However, they did receive 1.8 million euros for disposal of Get Visibility post period. So they seem okay for cash. The forecast is to generate a small profit in 2025 of 340K, which puts them on a PE of 28 at 8.5 pence a share. However, brokers have them on a reported loss before tax for 2026. I thought, I'm not sure why this is. Then I realised, hang on a sec, their profit for this year is because of Get Visibility, isn't it? So I'm not really convinced here. I mean, if that was why they generated profit by selling part of the company or an investment, not through operations, then I'm not convinced. And also, there's lots of big cybersecurity companies out there, bigger ones, you know, better funded, profitable. What does S247 have that these bigger companies don't? So I'm not convinced of their business model. And like I said, 2025 will see a temporary pop in profits of 340K, and then they go back to loss-making again, even the top line grows. So, yeah, not for me. It's like I said, it's a nano cap and it's loss-making. What else? Watkin Jones, WJG. UK's leading developer and manager of residential for rent, with a focus on the build-to-rent, student accommodation and affordable housing sectors. Now, it's an interesting company because they have a market cap of around about 80 million. And their half-year results today show their net cash of 73 million. Now, I'll go to the comments on this because they're quite long. Let me have a quick drink. Okay. So, WGA's H1 figures did not improve on H1 24. Revenue dropped by 26%. They generated a loss before tax of 918K, that's 918K, versus a profit before tax last year of 2.12. There was free cash outflow of 6.48 million versus an inflow of 1.77. The positive is that the net cash has increased by 67% to 73.4 million. And at 31 pence a share, their market cap is 80 million. So this should support the downside. So I always talk about growth and value, just pairing those two together. You know, you can get value without growth. It can continue to be good value. In fact, it can become even better value if they haven't got growth. So the value should support the downside to a certain amount because they're almost valued at cash, net cash. But for upside, they need to show some growth in revenue, profits, and hopefully an improvement in margins. In the outlook, they have two sort of outlook statements. And they say, several schemes are currently being marketed with a number of further forward sales from this pipeline targeted in H2 2025 to enable delivery of full year performance in line with current market expectations. The broker's expectations for the full year net profit of 4.5 million. This puts them on a PE of 18 at 31 pence a share. However, as they have so much cash, this puts them on an EV earnings ratio of just 1.3. So they got value. And the brokers expect a better performance in H2 based on promising signs of pipeline building. Now, if their forecasts are confirmed, WJG possesses excellent value and growth in profit before tax of 137%, but revenue drop in 12.5%. But nevertheless, there's growth in profits. So this is a second outlook statement. Whilst the market for these assets remain challenging, so it's getting, if you could scroll further down, you'll read the second outlook, and it's a little bit less bullish than the first one. The first one is sort of highlights outlook. It said, while the market for these assets remain challenging, our schemes are attracting interest with a number of further forward sales from this pipeline targeted in H2 2025 to enable delivery of full-year performance in line with current market expectations. So the forecasts are dependent on them delivering these schemes in H2, which is not guaranteed. But keep an eye on them in future news or contracts, trading updates to confirm forecasts. If they are confirmed, there should be some decent upside because this is a good value. Like I said, they just need a bit of growth, that's all. Okay, that's it for today. Thanks for listening. Don't forget sharepickers.com and speak you tomorrow.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. Please do your own research.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.